It is Thursday, the 6th of February, and this is episode 196 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome again. I'm Chris. Joined as ever by Ian.
Good evening, Chris.
I am getting bored of our intro. We're going to have to think of another one. Because I don't know. I'm just bored. And the last time we tried to do something different, it didn't work though, did it?
Chris?
Yes?
What does the fox say?
I don't know, Ian. What does the fox say?
That is such a... See, 2 minutes ago, you were like the most dynamic man in Britain. And now you're just like, oh, Ian, what does the fox say?
Yeah, jeez. I know. Sorry.
Welcome to your light entertainment podcast.
I'm an endless disappointment. Bit like the new CEO of Microsoft.
That's harsh.
You know, that's harsh. Anyway, they have named their replacement for the Ballmer leaving. Satya Nadella is the name. He was the internal candidate. So as everyone kind of half predicted, I guess, internal one over the bling of the external. He's generally known as a quiet doer. He's definitely a doer. He gets things sorted, right?
Allegedly.
He doesn't. Well, I mean, that's the, you know, that's his calling card, if you like, that he goes and fixes things. He was in charge of Bing to try and get that sorted. And as a, you know, competitor to Google. And
good job.
Other than the fact it doesn't get any visitors, Bing is actually quite a good search engine.
No, that's true. And then he moved from there to the server group and seemingly enterprise, you know, and that's what's been propping up quite a lot of Microsoft's money. Obviously, consumer-wise, they're in almost to say dire straits. Certainly the worst they've been for a while.
Yeah, and it's an interesting placement just on that basis. Are they going to chop the consumer side? It kind of, you know, the rumors they had was only a few weeks ago, I guess probably longer than that, but chopping off Xbox from their range of products and things like that, like selling it off as a product, and this kind of announcement of, you know, this new CEO, he could easily do that if he's from that other side. I mean, they're saying that he's going to have to get the consumer side on board with him, but maybe he's been brought in so to not do that.
And the thing, I mean, Xbox does make money now. I mean, for years it was unprofitable, but they were basically, you know, it's a bit like Bing, you know, like, we won't make money, we won't make money, we won't make money. Okay, we're starting to see, you know,
to make money just as they make their bad product.
Yeah, but I mean, Xbox is much the same, that it was for years it was unprofitable, but it was almost like they had to spend that to get the foot in the door. It's just because, yeah. How'd you break Sony and Nintendo? You know, it was just such a big deal for them to do it. And I wish they'd
spent a bit more money one more year further.
But and I guess we'll touch on that later on with the new updates that they're talking around. Mm-hmm. But the weird bit for me, so Ballmer seemingly didn't want this guy. Seemingly Ballmer wanted like somebody else to come in brand new. That's the kind of what a lot of the rumor sites and the rumor mills are saying. And also, it seemed you just talked about Xbox and remember there was all the rumors it's going to get sold off and Microsoft are going to double down on enterprise and cloud and kind of forget the consumer side of things. And Ballmer came out and started, you know, if it wasn't for me, Xbox wasn't there. And he was really, really pro for it. And I do wonder if there's a bit of a split because and Bill Gates has got a new role in all this.
Yes, he's no longer chairman anymore. No. So he's been removed from chairman. And apparently Gates is going to be working with this guy now as his technology advisor.
Yep, so a few days a week working on kind of like some hardware and software products.
Mm. So moving off the boardroom so he's not there anymore, but then maybe taking a bit more of a hands-on directional role, you know, back at the CEO type area.
It's very interesting. Mm. And as you're saying, definitely an insider, you know, he's not going to rot the boat, you know, certainly initially, I don't think.
And I wonder whether maybe it'll end up being a good choice. Again, this is, you know, we can but watch what happens. But having an outsider doesn't always work. Look at Yahoo. How many outsiders did that take before they kind of sorted themselves out? And they still haven't really.
No, because even...
They're a bit nothing at the moment.
they're making lots of acquisitions, and it's just like they just want a lot of buzz around about them. And yes, they've got a lot of traffic to their sites, and they're seeing.
But they're like a little, you know, if it was a graph of buzz, there'd be a tiny little spike, you know, dwarfed by other spikes going on. And but every, you know, we're still here, woohoo! You know, but it doesn't quite work for them still because they haven't got anything to push.
No.
Or rather, they don't push what they've got.
I mean, the big thing, you know, going back to Microsoft, the big challenge is things like, you know, Windows. You know, when Windows 8,
From a consumer point of view, it's bust. And okay. So let's see what happens, as ever. Good luck to him. Sony announced that they're losing staff. So this is why this is why PCs are in such dire straits and Microsoft is, you know, having problems, is because the actual industry, the PC industry, is pretty much destroyed. And Sony's having to ship out 5,000 staff. And they're going to pull out the PC industry. So their VAIO business is getting sold off. And they're also going to spin off TVs to try and make their core Sony business profitable again. Because at the moment it's losing billions of yen every year.
And I mean, the bit for me was the VAIO PC side has been particular. See, if I think back to when I went and bought I was looking at, you know, Macs and looking at hardware, the VAIO was always the alternative to like, you know, buy Apple and that kind of high end premium device, or you can buy like an Acer Ferrari laptop, or you can buy a Sony VAIO at double the price. But it was quite a Mac equivalent. They worried about design. You know, it had lots of great features.
It was probably the first PC that. Well, I say actual laptop that really cared that much.
Yeah, and just
in the power arena, anyway.
It's amazing that you know, Sony are now selling. It's been rumored again for months, and I mean, I saw this week there was some analysis done that Apple seemingly around on a per, you know, per PC, laptop, desktop, whatever you call it, are making about $230 profit per machine, but for PC makers on average it's 10% of that. They're roughly making $20 to $30 a machine.
Yeah, it's like because PC went into that cash cow thing, didn't there? So many different competitors in the market that actually they couldn't support a premium, because why would people pay a premium when you could have exactly the same thing? So 1,500 staff in Japan and 3,500 from around the world. They're going to try and get rid of a lot of them as they always spin it. Redundancies, early retirement, and then offering transfers to other businesses.
And even the TV brand, I mean, Sony's always been a good, reliable choice.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, I guess they're spinning, you know, selling it off because it's adding to the losses they're seeing, but there's no reason why someone can't turn the Sony brand into a good. I mean, they do command a premium. Sony TVs do cost more.
But when it's mental, I mean, I stuck the figures in the story. I mean, it was like their losses in 2011, just for TV alone, were 147 billion yen. Last year, the year later, it was down to 69.6 billion. So what they're expecting to say is like last year's overall won't be as bad, and they reckon they'll start making profitability this year. But
well, as long as they stop mucking around with 3D, they'd probably save a bit of money.
Absolutely.
I think they have. Now that they're all about the curves, right? But they were about the wedge, weren't they?
It was a wedge and 4K.
Yes.
4K wedge.
We're not ready for it. It's going to be the Year of the Code campaign.
Wow.
Government are putting $500,000 in to train teachers to teach pupils basic programming. They think this is what we need in the world. It's no longer an option to be a coder. You've got to be a coder, is what they're saying, which I kind of disagree with a little bit.
I disagree with a lot, actually.
To be honest, if Michael Gove has had any input in this, I kind of, you know how you detest a lot of people? I am starting to detest Mr. Gove.
There's not one likable bit of his body, to be honest.
No, so by the time that you're kind of ready to turn into ashes, I'm, you know, pretty much realising he is quite detestable.
I mean, he is a massive cock.
Yeah, I mean it's all the pseudo science that he spouts that actually doesn't mean anything, and just because it was good for one person means it's good for everyone, and everyone's lousy layabouts and all that thing. It's just horrible. Anyway, and because other countries slave drive their kids into depression and suicide in schools. He reckons that's what we should do. Anyway, that's a bit of a side note. Talk about animated there. But anyway, the $500,000 to getting kids to program. I am all for kids programming in school. Go for it. That's what Raspberry Pi was designed to do.
I'm all for it if somebody wants to do it. I just don't like this idea that, you know, it's no longer a nice to have, it's an essential. I don't think coding is an absolute essential. I think getting some, you know, decent, you know, IT skills is pretty essential, but not coding.
I don't know if you, when I was at school, we definitely did some basic logic coding. So we always had that. We had
a day with the logic robot. Yeah, I mean, you're a bit younger, so you probably had a bit more IT stuff lying around.
We had the day where we had to make an adventure game using their adventure game software.
Wow.
Yeah. And looking back, so we did bits and bobs. We always had like little PC in the classroom, but it wasn't very much. And no, it was like one at a time.
We had a BBC. I'm sure it was about, I'm sure it was about primary 5 or 6 or 7 at our primary school. So that would have been, 83, 84.
Showing your age.
85, around about that age, there was BBCs. Yes. And I remember playing Frogger on it. And there was a whole lot of educational type titles. But even just getting in and getting used to, you know.
But at that stage, it doesn't matter.
Sticking the floppy and loading up programs and all that.
Oh,
and
floppy drive.
Oh, it was class. I remember used to rush to finish my work so that I could run along and get on that PC, that BBC first. It's like, yay.
If you want a bit of nostalgia, go back and watch the tape loading from people have uploaded to YouTube games being tape loaded. all the noises and there's even one that has like a rewind play. Just while it carries on going. It's awful noise. Anyway, yeah, I agree. I guess people have to want to do it, but nevertheless, it is good to stretch a logical mind, but I just don't think that $500,000 could possibly do what they wanted to do. Maybe I don't know, maybe I'm underestimating it, but I don't know.
No, it's a total talking. It's not, I mean the soundbite was all about it's an essential to have, you know, all our kids programming, but the money will probably only play for, you know, what, a few dozen schools.
Yeah, I'd quite like to sit Michael Gove in front of a program that's impossible to solve and just tell him to do it.
Well, actually, I think he could.
Is he that geeky?
Well, maybe you don't remember, I had to go and Google it, but last year he was asked and this was all around, like, you know, state schools and national averages, et cetera. And he didn't really understand what averages were. So the chair of this committee, if good requires pupil performance to exceed the national average, and if all schools must be good, how is this mathematically possible? And Gove replied by getting better all the time. And the chairman said, so is it possible? Is it? And Gove said, it is possible to get better all the time. And then the chair said, well, you're better at literacy than numeracy, Secretary of State. And he replied, I cannot remember.
Yes, there we go. Do as I say, not as I do. Oh. Anti's piracy. They're in the latest in a long run of music industry initiatives. We have an app. The music industry has sponsored an app. And would you like to guess what the app does?
It lets me browse a torrent site and download newly available music before it's available in the shops.
It doesn't. Ah. It is a game in which it sets up Music Inc., which is basically one of these simulation softwares where you go and pick a band from a bunch of wannabes. You style them up, you know, do all the important things that the music industry does. You get a buzz going around them, and then you get sales and you get radio plays, and then piracy comes along and it steals all your money.
God damn it, I hate that piracy. But does it show you that more people that pirate then actually buy more music afterwards? Does it highlight that fact?
I bet you it doesn't.
What else does it let you do, Chris?
Well, it doesn't let you buy drugs for the artist to keep them happy.
Really?
No, although it should do, surely.
Yep.
It doesn't show the executives all lying around smoking and generally having a lot of fun on the back of the people's, you know, money.
Hmm.
Doesn't show them soiling up massive resources for pointless initiatives.
What about Goom and a Groupie? Surely
gotta be in there.
Surely those kind of features. If they're going for the realism angle, surely.
And they got to get some scandals in there as well. So no, anyway, that's what you can teach your kiddies all about how piracy is really bad by letting them download a game. But don't do it on an unlocked iPhone.
And do you know what this smacks of? You buy a Blu-ray, you stick it in, and you get your 2 minutes of Don't Steal. And it's like, I've bought it, all right? I don't need to be told.
I bought it, and the only people you're telling about this is the person who's actually bought it, because the person who's pirated it is not seeing this message.
Yeah, oh, and I can't skip it. Oh,
yes,
thank
I cannot
you.
Skip through.
Thank
Great.
You.
Wonderful. Android has, well, BT, I should say, is using an Android handset as one of its latest smart landlines, if we say that. So you can use this Androidy handset, and it will connect to the web when you're in your house, because it will connect via your wireless, and it will also be used as your kind of landline phone. The only difference from it really and mobile phone is the fact it will not connect to the cellular.
Quite smart.
Yeah. I think a couple of people have done this before, and I think BT did it before, didn't they? They had a smart handset like this. It's going to cost £150. But I guess if you can play Angry Birds on it, who cares?
Yep. And it's 4.2 Jelly Bean, so not tremendously out of date. Considering KitKat's been out for 3 months and only like 1% of Android phones have it, so it's no big deal anymore, I think, just because Google have separated so much. I don't think that's a big issue. 3.5-inch touchscreen. And as you said, all the apps are available. So crack on.
There you go. Chromecast, the streaming service, Google streaming service for TVs, the thing you plugged into your TV and it could stream stuff, they are now releasing apps. What's that all about?
So they've had apps for a while, but they've all, I think they were tied. So I think it was some sort of, not a secret program, but it was a selected partners.
Right.
So it was like Plex and a few others that had said, let's work with you, let's get it out there. And let's start spreading this idea of having more apps, supporting Chromecast. And if you don't know, Chromecast is the kind of $30 little USB stick plugs into your TV, and you can, from your, either from your desktop, laptop, mobile device, say, send this content, and then it goes to Chromecast and it starts to grab the content from elsewhere to play.
Yes, it doesn't actually do, it hasn't stored the content anywhere on itself. It just has an internet connection. Therefore, it's intelligent streaming, isn't it? So if you send it a YouTube video, it won't take it from your PC and show it. It will actually go to YouTube and it will start streaming it from there. So it's,
and it works really, really well. Bizarrely, still not in the UK. So I don't really know why. It's just one of these kind of, I don't know if it's just back to, is it some sort of crazy content licensing deal? Is it just...
It must be something to do with that. I mean, I guess it's the same as US felt when Spotify just would not come over to the US kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It just feels frustrating that there's something out there that you can't get hold of.
So I think we're going to see an absolute avalanche of apps coming out, this, supporting it. So I think a lot of the kind of music apps, so RDO and that kind of thing, have already said, yep, we'll be adding this in.
Yeah, I wonder how well supported it'll end up being in TVs, because that will be when it's, it's a little widget now, but the idea is that it's so small and you could just whack it into your any old TV. I just wonder how popular it will be, because obviously Samsung are going down their smart hub, which has been very popularly received, and everyone else is doing their own little integrations and software. I wonder whether they're going to miss the boat on that. We're offering up an easy way for you to put this onto your TV. Yeah. Yet the kind of people that you'd expect to put it in their TVs have already done it, and they've kind of invested time and money into their own set of apps and streaming services and annoying web browsers.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. It's kind of the same kind of thoughts I have about Apple TV, which has been out.
Have they missed the boat?
Since 6 years or 7 years or something crazy like that, and
they haven't missed the boat. They're great, they'll do what they always do. They'll just create a new boat, and it'll be the same boat as everyone else's, but they'll spin it.
Maybe. What I've noticed is almost every month there's a new, what they call a channel, appearing on the Apple TV. So even just like last week, Red Bull got added on.
Right. So it's building to something, maybe.
WWE comes next or later this month. So there's a whole other, so it's almost like doubled the number of channels in the space of a year. And considering those channels were the same for probably about 3 years, there's a kind of, there's a step change happening. And it's also noticed, there's a couple, reading between the lines, lots of rumours about engineers, within Apple getting moved onto Apple TV product. without anything obviously coming out. And then this is really kind of like geeky, but if you look at Apple Store, they made a move last week and Apple TV became a product category in its own right. Previous to last week, it was always hidden under either a Mac, I think it was under Mac or iOS helper kind of devices. So as if like, this is an add-on you can get, but it's now up there as one of the categories. So lots of kind of, you know, putting two and two together, and you think, is this just going to be the new Apple
TV? It's not putting two and two together. It's putting like two from years ago and adding two onto it every week until we eventually get to about 1,000, and that's when things get released. It's a build-up, and it kind of will happen. It's just, you know. So it's Apple TV and wearables is what everyone's talking about, right? That's
and I still think an Apple TV or the kind of next-gen one will happen, because they've now got the kind of Bluetooth controller support in iOS 7. And I know it's off to kind of rocky start. Some of the devices aren't the best, but I can see the, you know, the device sitting at the TV and having a controller, whether it's your iOS device or whether you go and buy one of these controllers. And very quickly, I think you'd see a pretty massive platform.
Yep. Amazon. They took a left at some traffic light a while back and they didn't notice. They've bought a gaming studio. They've bought Double Helix Games. Now, Double Helix Games, I know that they've done something recently. I'm sure that I've played one of their games. But Double Helix was born out of Shiny Entertainment and The Collective. And both of those were both quite big developer houses, well known for the software. So they've bought quite a respectable development house that's employing 75 people. And it's basically pointing towards our Amazon building a games for something, because there are rumors of some sort of games console that Amazon want to bring out, a cheap one.
It wasn't Killer Instinct, was it? So they did Killer Instinct for the Xbox One, which I know none of us really play, and you just use Netflix. So that's why I would be surprised if it was that.
But I've downloaded it. I've never turned it on.
Yeah. So I mean, they did Killer Instinct. So I think Xbox or Microsoft did come out yesterday and said, you know, we will be moving that IP to somebody else, because that IP wasn't part of the deal. But the studio where
I'm sure Shiny did. Did they do Earthworm Jim years ago?
Yeah.
That's them. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. They were a massive that was a cool game.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, at its time, it was just one of these.
Mum liked that.
Wow.
Wow. There you go. There's a shining endorsement.
But yeah, so Amazon, again, much rumored a bit like Apple with, you know, some sort of next gen type Apple TV. Amazon have been talking lots of talk around an Android set top box, you know, some sort of games console, some sort of TV, you know, playback device.
Maybe they're just jumping on board with the, you know, the Steam box. Because Steambox is going to be moving to, you know, a Unixy type backend. Maybe they've decided that's the way to go. I mean, they've got such massive server farm availability as well that, you know, they could even be doing, you know, a dumb front end with server farm support. If anyone can do it, they can do it with their infrastructure.
No, absolutely. I think some of the rumors being it based on Android was because of what they've done with the Kindles, you know, and that kind of they've made their own. You know, it's not their own, but they've kind of baked their own front end on top of Android, so you don't really know you're using Android. You wouldn't know, you know, Google's not mentioned anywhere. It is all kind of Amazon front end. And yep. I wonder if they would do very similar with a set-top box.
Why not? They've learned how to do it for that, and why not?
And if you look at, you know, they've got Live Film here, they've got, and obviously, I didn't actually know they'd bought other game studios. So they've actually been doing this since 2012.
They're saying the rumors are that they're trying to compete with Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo. I mean, I don't think they can even compete with Nintendo. So that's not nowhere near the others. But you know, who knows what they're. But it just doesn't seem a good fit. You get that feeling. It's not what. It's a bit like your dad wearing the wrong kind of clothes, isn't it? You know, Dad, what are you doing? You look silly.
I remember back to when Microsoft first announced what they wanted to do with Xbox, and there were so many people saying you cannot compete. You cannot compete.
But Microsoft, at least they had the tie-in where PC gaming at the time was massive. They were the only ones that did multiplayer gaming. And all the Xbox was supposed to be was a PC in a box, which it kind of was. That's what the first Xbox was. They've moved away from that a little bit now.
They moved away a little bit, but I mean, consoles have really just ended up being.
They've all been.
Yeah, because I mean, I think the PS3 was probably the last extreme console when it had such custom, you know, silicon compared to what they've got now.
And because everything's got so much more powerful, you don't need to be custom. You just need to find a way of tying things together. Anyway, there you go. So see whether those rumors come true. And keeping on gaming, so Xbox One, they have announced that they will be updating the Xbox One. And Microsoft's been going to be updating the Xbox One kind of in February, so soon.
Next week.
And then again in March.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, but they're not telling us exactly what they're going to do. The only kind of thing they've really announced is the fact that your gamepad will now have a battery meter shown on screen.
Wow.
Which again, if they did that for their old console, it's all the little things that used to be.
Yeah, but you see little things. I mean, it's you've probably not played it enough to realize how bad it is. No. I mean, the your pad will just stop working.
My pad has run out of batteries already.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, you know, so me and Paul were playing, you know, FIFA, and he was like, he just disappeared. And then a couple of minutes later, it was like, that was my pad running out of batteries. No warning. Remember the old one used to, it was with flashlights, and you'd be like, crap in it. You'd either plug it in or put a battery in.
They haven't got the lights anymore, though. Well, it has, because it does glow.
It does. Yeah. But this just switches off.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I'm gone. And it's like, thanks. Thanks for that. So it seems a really trivial thing.
Let's face it, though, when the old controller used to flash its lights, you never believed it. I'll last.
I was just to get a round of Halo. So up to me, I always got an extra 15 minutes. So it started flashing. I was like, I'm okay to the end of this round.
Okay.
But
it's an important thing, it wasn't there, which is annoying, isn't it, really? Because you used to press the dual, and then it would show you whatever controller you just pressed it on. It used to tell your battery level, which is sensible.
Yes. And there's some Kinect voice recognition improvement,
which is good, because maybe I'll only have to say things twice rather than three times.
Mine's just, I've got all right with mine.
You've built a relationship.
Yeah.
I still have to talk quite clearly.
I still laugh when Paul has to go, Xbox, record that. Xbox, record that. And it's just like, yeah, that was my impression of Bomb, by the way. That wasn't very good. All right, Governor.
My little dog goes mental whenever I talk on my Xbox, because she thinks I'm telling her off. It's that kind of voice you have to use to get it to work.
Mine's just usually resignation now. Xbox, unsnap. And it works.
Slight exasperation and it will do what you want.
Do a sigh and I think it feels sorry for me.
So there are also stability and improvements to consumer experience or customer experience, whatever that means.
Hopefully it just means it doesn't crash back to Dash as much.
Right.
Because we've had a few FIFA games that have just been destroyed with little Lady just going, oh, did any of you guys go back to Dash? No. Oh, me again.
It's a bit like Microsoft, you know, a bit like Windows 8. If they just took off this new skin and put the old one back, we'd all be very happy.
The important one is the one in March. So Titanfall's coming out in March, and Titanfall is a bit of a unique game in that it got a whole lot of buzz last year, got all kind of like Game of Show awards. Didn't obviously meet the release date, although they always said it was going to be post-release.
Everyone assumed it was going to be launch, didn't they? But it wasn't.
Yeah, but if you look at the launch videos, it was in all the material. Even if you actually had the misfortune to see an Xbox One in the store, the actual cardboard all around it had it all in it. So I think that was always going to be for launch, and they missed it, and they just didn't want to say. Anyway, but there's no single player in it at all. It's just purely multiplayer.
So the multiplayer aspects have to be right. You have to be able to join a game with friends. You have to be able to figure out a way of going to join a game that a friend is already playing, which is impossible at the moment, as far as I can see.
It's just counterintuitive. Harder than it should be.
Exactly.
And so what we're promised is a fully revamped party system. Lift and shift, Microsoft.
Let's see, because they are being deliberately tight-lipped about it. They're not saying exactly what it is. They're not showing anyone. They're not touting these features. And there's people now saying, well, there's probably going to be other features that they promised as well in there. Things like the Twitch TV streaming and you know, the other bits that they talked about in E3, really.
Well, the thing was, they talked about Twitch before E3, and E3 is June, and this is coming in March, so there's not a lot of time. And also, I think probably by the end of March, start of April, there's no new games out probably till September. You know, they've got that kind of summer gulf.
Yeah. Well, we've had a gulf already, haven't you? I mean, since November, whatever it was, released to now. Is it December? December released to now. There's been nothing. There's literally been, one or two demo games? That's about it, really?
Very much.
Yeah, and there's going to be another massive gap. So they are really hoping that Titanfall is going to be good. They're kind of relying on that.
The good thing is Battlefield now is reliable.
And I might log in one day then.
And the NBA game that I've got now doesn't corrupt my save game. Thanks for that. I can now play it and know that it won't fall around about me.
Mind you, that happened with Batman Arkham City. I hated that. Destroyed my game save about 50% in.
And see, but that's why I've not played it, because I saw that it was really buggy and people were saying, oh, it's just taking my season out. And it's like, right, if that happened to me, I would I don't know, shred it or something.
Okay. That's the end of our news for this week. But you have got a pick for us. So let's hear what that is about.
Threes is a game. Sorry, that was my threes magic number.
It's a magic number.
It came out today. It's a new game for iOS. It looks a bit like Letterpress. Do you remember Letterpress?
I do remember most word games, mostly because I detest them that much.
I love Letterpress, apart from the fact Henry constantly bet me. I think I've beaten him once, and that was about it. Out of like, and I'm talking about 100 games.
And that feeling that you get of not enjoying it for being beaten is what I feel like with every single word game that I play with anyone ever.
See, I enjoy it. I'm coming back for more. So I enjoyed the kind of like.
I feel crushed.
Yeah, but this is a, so it's a 4x4 grid, and it basically presents some numbers, and then you need to make, you know, like add one and two to make three, and then get another one and two to make three. Then you can add the two threes together to make six. Then you need to make another six to add them together, and you do it by moving around, and the wall was an edge, and I can't explain it.
It's quite hard to explain then.
Just go and buy it. It's actually, well, I only bought it when I came home. I've got a lot of work to do tonight, but I spent about half an hour playing that.
Well, okay.
So it was just like, oh, I don't get this. Oh, I do. Oh, I want to play more. A nice little addictive game. And that's called
I've gone to asherv.com, asherv.com/threes, and you can see like a vision
got,
of it going.
They've got little videos and GIFs. So they've got it as a GIF. Yeah. GIFs had a comeback. Loads of nice little GIF tools just to make little small videos that you can host anywhere, and it's great. Anyway,
that's threes.
Yes.
£1.49.
Yes.
Good stuff. Thank you for that. That is the end of our podcast. If you want to find out more about us, you can www.digitaloutbox.com. Email is info@digitaloutbox.com if you want to talk to us. And Twitter and Skype is digitaloutbox. I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK, and Ian.
My blog is ind.net, and I'm on Twitter as Shripa.
Wunderbar. We will speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Ta-ra. I've got just a thing for you.
What's that?
A Michael Gove pincushion.
Excellent. Yeah. Send it to me now. I shall then put it outside, run it over with my car several times.
I've just retweeted it.
Okay, excellent.
Head to Twitter and you will see the Michael Gove pincushion. Yeah, so no intro.
Yeah, we've got to think about this. What can we do differently?
All right, bitch.
All right, slags. How's it going?
It was good until you did that bit.
All right, I'll stop.
We could do it in French. Bonjour.
German. Willkommen.
Ça va?
Ja.
But you know what's gonna happen.
Ja.
No, you know what's going to happen if we go German?
Emil.
I'll just go snell. And if we go Swedish or whatever, I'll recount my hurdy-gurdy story, in which I was flying to Madrid via Schiphol Airport, and there was a couple of guys from work, and I were on the plane, and it looked like, you know, and I'll say under 21, so it was all legal, under 21, like, kind of hockey team came on. And they're all quite nice looking. And they're all going, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy. And we've got no
idea. Were they from Binga Bonga Land?
where do I sign up at UKIP? And so they're all going, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy. And we just talked away. But all we heard was then, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, dildo. And the best
the
bit was
stopped.
Me and Robert then burst out laughing. And then they obviously realised that we'd heard that one word. So they were all giggling and everybody went red at the same time. It's like, yeah. This is all slightly uncomfortable because you might
be actually... Oh, that word's the same for you. Uh-huh.
And then we're sitting there thinking, maybe they're not under 21.
Should we use that for our intro?